Trendy is presented for the people by Caesar Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. Welcome back to another edition of Trendy, presented by Omaha, the show where we like to compete while exploring the best way to wager for casual cappers. And Martin Weiss, I have a bone to pick with you. I listened to Lemon Pepper Parlay this morning, and you went on there with a bunch of fake news about how you are pounding me into the ground in this competition. You are auditioning to be RFK Jr.'s running mate. You are going to be the Jets' savior. You're going to keep Aaron Rodgers in New York as you take your place next to him on the campaign trail. You are losing to me right now. You went out and you made these audacious claims before my bets were all settled, but my soccer dollars paid off, and now I am up 7.5 to 7.4. I am well above ground on you, sir.
Well, see, that's the thing. I didn't even, when I went back and looked at the list of what you had picked, I was like, Arsenal and somebody to qualify for something. And I had no way of knowing how to check it. So in my head, I graded it as a loss.
Snuck up on you, baby. Arsenal came through in PKs. Arsenal came through for me, and I cashed 3.9 units to take the lead on you. That must have been a real kick in the balls for you.
Well, now it is, now that I know that it happened. I didn't know that it occurred beforehand. So
I accept your apology. So, Martin, before we continue our heater right here, because both of us are up, right? We both only gave out 5 units. We both cashed in pretty nice on that. So that was a good Monday for us. See if we can do the same today. But before we give out our picks, I did listen to Lemon Pepper, and you spent a very nice chunk of that show not talking about the NBA, but talking about the Michigan Wolverines and their fall from grace. And so before we dive into the NCAA tournament and even the conference championships, I wanted to take 1 minute before we get to the games that matter to talk about a team that doesn't. What has happened to Michigan, and how do you come down from the balcony, not just being Stadler and Waldorf, like hurling insults at them? How do we actually fix this proud team and turn them back to their rightful place in the national landscape?
It feels like so. It's when I was in undergrad, the time I was at Michigan, again, the 5 worst years in Michigan football history by every metric, points scored, points allowed, wins, losses, like literally the worst, right? So, but the thing is, at that time, Michigan basketball had a real gritty culture, a real standard that was started by guys like Jordan Morgan, Zach Novak, Stu Douglas. None of these guys, I mean, Jordan, I think, had a cup of coffee in the pros, but none of these guys were ever sniffing the NBA. But they built the culture and foundation that then allowed Michigan to recruit guys who were 3 and 4 stars, no 5 stars for real. Maybe Tim Hardaway Jr. was a 5 star. But to recruit guys who were kind of undervalued by the Dukes and the North Carolinas and then the Arizonas and the UCLAs and so on and so forth, and get them in Ann Arbor and watch them develop into pro players. Trey Burke is the number one example. He came as a freshman. He was a good player, not a great player. Darius Moore is another example of a guy who built the culture, who played in the NBA for just a smidge of time. But he ended up leaving Michigan because Trey Burke was coming. And it's like, well, I already know this guy's going to take my spot. So he goes to the pros as a way to that's the program Michigan used to be. He was going to the pros, so we didn't have to like compete in college still. The stock was never going to get higher. So
Martin, before you keep going, what do you attribute that to, that development? Like at UVA, the same thing happens at UVA, right? They get like the Ty Jeromes and Kyle Guys of the world. They don't ever light the NBA on fire, but they become contributors to a national champion, even though they weren't the 5-star headline recruits coming out. I attribute that to Tony Bennett and his system and his coaching and his staff and all that sort of stuff. What was the pipeline at Michigan that turned at least 3-4 stars guys into pros, and what happened to it?
It got hired by the Cleveland Cavaliers for one half of a disastrous season when John Beilein left. John Beilein was a career college basketball coach, and it had success at smaller, non-traditional basketball schools along the way, right? I forget where he started from, Des Moines College, I believe. Small school near Syracuse, but not Syracuse. But ended up going to West Virginia. And if you're over the age of 35, you'll remember Kevin Pitsnoggle and Mike Gansey from that NCAA tournament. Kevin Pitsnoggle lives in a trailer now. Like he lives in it. Last I read was like 300 pounds living in a trailer. Like didn't sniff the professional leagues. Mike Gansey, I think, played in Europe a few years. But again, two guys who were just college basketball studs, but like the Enterprise commercial, going pro in something else. Mm-hmm. So like, that foundation that he built at West Virginia allowed for some of the better players that he had to come in and star. The foundation of Douglas, Novak, Jordan Morgan, Darius Morris allowed guys like Nick Stauskas, who ended up being a lottery pick, Tim Hardaway Jr., who is in the middle of a 10-year NBA career, Trey Burke, who was, you know, for a while in the league, but, you know, was a really, really high level. I mean, national player of the year, college player. Yep. That's what's missing. And it's like part of it, I think, is like high level culture, high level accountability. Like I imagine the same thing is true at UVA, where you got like Kyle Guy when he was a freshman and a sophomore was treated the exact same way as all the seniors and the juniors were on the team. Like there's an expectation that you have to earn your minutes. You're not going to get anything handed to you and so on and so forth. And that comes from the top. And I think when you have a situation, Juwan Howard, to me, he lost the program the day he punched the assistant coach for Wisconsin in the face 2 years ago. Yeah. Because if you're like, it's not the NBA. It's not professional sports. It's college sports. There's only one person who's supposed to be in charge here. And it's the head coach of either like, and it seems like all the culture that Michigan basketball had left when John Beilein left. They had a little bit of residual run with Juwan Howard, and they made like two or three good tournament runs. But it seems like it all transferred from the Chrysler Center right over there to Schembechler Hall at the Michigan football program when Jim Harbaugh came to town, which is about the last time that Michigan basketball was like really competing for national titles.
And so is that it, right? Like, are they one hire away from returning to national prominence, or is there something deeper at play here that you have to address before that one hire can put them back to where they belong?
Oh, absolutely. To be fair, honestly, they may not even be one hire. They may be like two or three players. Because if you in today's generation and the way it is now, you know, you can go. I was watching an interview with Rick Pitino. He said when he was coaching at Iona, the whole league, all the best players got poached to go to the big conferences, right? So it was like, you get the right couple transfers in. Hell, they almost had Caleb Love, who was like second or third in the Pac-12 in scoring as of last weekend. That right there would have been a massive difference and a massive change. But it's going to require the fundamental culture of, and it's rampant through Michigan, but Bo Schembechler would say the team, those who stay will be champions. But there has to be some, like, while players have to buy into that, there also has to be some level of like, look at this past success. If you stay, we will win. Like, you know, and I think that's the biggest key, because if you look at a school like Michigan, they put the most players in the combine. Why was that? Because they didn't have a lot of transfers out. Right. Like not a lot of people are transferring out. There's people transferring in, but not so many people transferring out. That part of that is developing the culture and wanting to win for your school, win for the name on the front of the jersey. The same thing that people say NIL is killing everywhere else. If Michigan basketball can reestablish that, they'll be fine. Because the Big Ten outside of Purdue, which I mean, it's around. Let me check my watch. Oh, it's March 13th. It's about time for them to fall flat on their faces. Right. But the rest of the Big Ten is for the taking right now. With Michigan State on the downfall, Ohio State fired their coach in the middle of the season. Like, I mean, Northwestern has a double bye in the Big Ten conference tournament this week. Yeah. Like, the Big Ten is for the taking.
I mean, they definitely are. And like, if this was 30 years ago, like when Blue Chips was getting made, I would say just cheat, right? But now everybody can cheat. Cheating's legal. It's called NIL. And so, like, I guess part of the question to you, Martin, is, like, is this a resource allocation issue? Like, do you now have to choose to be a football school, a basketball school? And if you try to be both, you take a big risk to be neither? Because if a certain amount of attention is going to go into this, a certain amount of resources, a certain amount of alumni funds are going to go into building up programs, I mean, are we going to see schools be able to excel at all of them? Like, when I say excel, I mean, like, national championship level?
Sure.
Or are they going to have to kind of make a choice? And at Michigan, it's always going to be football.
If Michigan basketball can't fund itself to be competing with the highest players, especially when you consider the largest living alumni, endowment based, like coming from like University of Michigan, then they should be embarrassed. Like that's embarrassing. Michigan is this is not Duke or, I mean, Alabama competes in basketball and somehow finds a way to compete in football. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like yeah. Alabama somehow finds a way. But this is not like University of Houston or even like a UCLA or what's another, like, Michigan should be considered in the realm of like University of Florida, University of Texas, those big major public institutions that compete at high level in just about every sport that they play because of the finances of the institution are insane, right? So like the idea that Michigan basketball is where it is now and Michigan football is where it is now, like they've got to marry that closer, because when I was in college, it couldn't have been any different.
Yeah, I mean, I just wonder if like in the NIL era, will schools like Duke or UConn or even Houston to a certain extent, like schools like that that are really going to focus on basketball, start to widen the gap? Because like it really is hard to do both. In fact, I was born in 1980, Martin. Do you know how many colleges have won a championship since 1980 in both men's basketball and college football?
University of Florida. Twice.
Yep. I was just saying any just name there's the number of colleges that have actually won in 44 years in both.
So I'm running through the college football champions first and then trying to match them with basketball. And I think it might just be Florida.
It's funny, of all people to ask the question to, there's two, and the second one's Michigan because they won in 89 in basketball.
Oh, 89. Okay. Yes. That's a good point. 89. And you know what threw me off? Michigan, I did not count them as national football champions, even though they won this year. That's what threw it off.
There you go. So, yeah, Florida and Michigan are the only ones to do it. And if I was born in 1970, if I was 10 years older, it would still only be Florida and Michigan. So it's not something that is done frequently before NIL. And I wonder if it's just going to get worse.
Well, I mean, to me, NIL should make it easier almost. Like, I mean, the guys who invented Google went to Michigan, right? Like Stephen Ross went to Michigan. Like, we're talking about billionaires. Went to the school highlight. Like you go to a school like Oklahoma State, for example, which is like, I'd say mid-tier in both sports, right? Like, you know, they can go undefeated every so often or like have a Marcus Smart, LeBron Nash run in basketball and get to a run, but it's few and far between. They got like one guy, T. Boone Pickens, who actually is from Michigan. But regardless of that, they got like one guy, you know what I mean? Like if LSU can get, you know, if University of Florida can get, like, then Michigan should be able to do it too. Because the money at Michigan is so crazy for a public school that there's no, like, what else are you spending it on? I don't understand.
And with conference realignment, I mean, like, we really do think this is going to turn into the AFC and the NFC. Like, you basically have to be in the SEC or the Big Ten to really be able to compete. Then they already have that position, right? Like, they're already the king of the Big Ten, so they're the king of one of the two major conferences. So, like, I think that they should return, but, like, watching them be a 7-point dog on a Wednesday and, you know, what are they, 8-20 on the year or whatever they are? It's like cognitive dissonance. I can't even, like, look at Michigan right now and wrap my head around the front of the jersey matching what, you know, their stats say that they are.
It's hard for me to see, like, it's hard for me to see it too. It was like nobody at senior night the other day. It's like, it is just fundamentally so far from the Michigan basketball tradition that I knew. Like, we would go to the games in the cold, the snow and all that. Like, the first teams I ever covered national champion, or should have been the runner-up to the national champion Michigan team, the one that won the Final Four, won the Elite Eight down in Atlanta. That was the first, like, professional thing that I did, was sit there and talk to Beilein. And, you know, I think that year Jim Boeheim was there, Tom Izzo was there, like, in Ann Arbor. These guys I'm sitting here talking to, asking them, how was it? I remember Tim Miles from Nebraska they got crushed. They lost by like 35. And he was in the post-game press conference kind of just laughing because he was like, what else was I supposed to do? I didn't know what else to do. And it's like, I could sit up here and be mad and start cussing everybody out. But that team is just so much better than our team that, you know, it's just a measuring stick. That was Tim Miles' whole post-game thing. And because we asked him, like, why are you laughing so much? Like, you seem to be in a great mood for a guy who just got completely pounded. And he said, you know, he didn't end up lasting as Nebraska's head basketball coach. You know, maybe some of those poundings were the reason why. But the fact remains that Michigan at one point was pounding teams like Nebraska like they played in the MAC.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm a DC sports fan, so I'm used to rooting for teams that suck and trying to come up with solutions. And it's heartening to hear you have to do the same thing as the NCAA football champion has to come back to earth, bounce back down, and try to figure out how to rebuild the proud basketball program. But it's better to just throw out at least some ideas and solutions than just to continue to kind of complain into your pint glass, right?
Yes, but it's just, you know, I could come up with solutions for a lot of things, but it feels like right now you got a better chance of solving world hunger than Michigan basketball.
All right. Well, feed the world. Let's do it. Let's also feed some takes after this on betting, Martin. Let's give Caesar some love and we'll be coming back with our picks.
You know, when the conversation turns stampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up. Omaha Full. The word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, we are back, Martin. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, despite you thinking you were pounding me into the ground, I have the lead, so I am going to retain honors. It's a slim lead, but it still counts. And we are going to start. We talked a lot of college basketball at the start. I'll be back into them in just a minute, but we will start in the association, where my heart pick is the Nuggets -3.5 at -110 against the Heat tonight. I just kind of don't understand this line, Martin. The Nuggets are the class of the NBA and are coming together predictably as we approach the playoffs. You smartly went against them the other night when that was with the Raptors, but that line was 15. I think I would take the Nuggets like blind at -3.5 against any single team in the league. And the Heat are not any team in the league. The Heat just lost to the Wizards. They lost to the Wizards. This is not a marginal call like it would be at the Celtics. They lost to the Wizards. Come on, man. I mean, I cannot believe we talked about cognitive dissonance with like Michigan. I can't believe this is a finals rematch. My brain refuses to accept given the gap in quality that you watch between these two teams, but it is, which means that Jimmy is probably going to come out tonight. He's probably going to throw some haymakers, and that makes me like the bet even more. Because we saw the Nuggets in the second half versus the Raptors the other night when they realized that they might lose. They turned on the Jets and outscored the Raptors by like 25 in the second half to win. Once they take a game seriously, it's a wrap. And if Jimmy wants to come out and throw a haymaker, he's going to wake up Jokic. He's going to do the same thing to him, and they're going to cover 3.5 in a laugh. So give it to me at -110 tonight, no problem.
I like it. It was on my list. It was on my list. But the thing about it was, and then also, too, you didn't say it, the Nuggets' last five road wins have occurred by at least 5 points. So they will cover. They've covered this spread the last five times they've been out. That's actually my second guess express, not to jump ahead, but it was right there. Because the thing I was concerned about is Denver has done a little bit of moving around. Like the idea that they were down so much at half to the Raptors actually made me worried about them covering the 13 on the back end. I was like, they're going to wake up and go crazy.
Exactly.
I also think this is a game that Miami really kind of needs after they've lost three in a row. Again, like you said, to the Lizards, I'm sorry, the Wizards, you know, because they'll have L's in front of the win-loss column. But that was the one I was leaning towards. And I was like, you know what? Jimmy might just screw me on this. So I'm going to stay away from it. My hard pick, though, told you, the state of Michigan is playing disastrous basketball across the board. Somehow, just earlier this week, the Detroit Pistons were favored, and they're favored again tonight. Somehow, yep. I took them on Monday, they were favored, and somehow I'm doing it again tonight. I'm taking the Detroit Pistons -3.5. They've won two of their last three. This is not the same team that went on that 27-28 game losing streak after they made just a handful of moves, not a ton, but the starting lineup with Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, Simone Fontecchio, formerly of the Utah Jazz, Isaiah Stewart, and Jalen Duren has a small sample size, but has been really effective. They have a +12.7 net rating together when that starting five is on the court. And that's pretty much been who they've been trotting out. And if, like, off the top of my head, I know the Pistons have, what, 10 wins now, 11 wins? They probably have double the amount of wins in the second half of the year that they did in the first half.
Yeah.
Which sounds crazy, but yeah.
Well,
and the Raptors, by the way, just are terrible. Like, they're going to miss three starters. So this is 3.5.
I agree. They are terrible. And I was saying this about the Pistons when they're in the middle of their 28-game losing streak. Like, I'd much rather have the Pistons situation than the Wizards situation. Like, every one of these, like, quote-unquote, like, bad teams have at least a guy that could be a starter on a, you know, conference championship-level team. Like, Cade Cunningham can go. That guy can play. I mean, we were seeing it particularly in the last month. Obviously, Wembanyama down at the Spurs. Scottie Barnes has stepped up for the Raptors. And, I mean, say what you want about LaMelo, but, like, you trade the entire Wizards roster for LaMelo right now outside of the contract. And so, like, all of those teams at least have some sort of hope. And I think the Pistons, I love Jalen Duren. I love Cunningham. I mean, I'm about to fade Jaden Ivey, so we'll get to him in a second. But, like, I think that they played with pride before they traded Bojan, and I like backing them right now.
They're a great team against the spread this year. Like this year in 2024, since 2024, really after the trade deadline, they've been one of the better against the spread teams in the NBA. It just doesn't translate to wins and losses.
Yeah. Well, amen to that. So speaking of the Pistons, and I cannot believe how much talk Michigan basketball is getting on this program. Omaha's really getting it today. We're going to fade Jaden Ivey. We're going to take him at under 18.5 points at -115. And this is a guy who got a lot of shine in college gyms a couple of marches ago. But despite having that good five-man lineup, he has not lit the NBA on fire individually quite yet. 18.5 is like one nice thing about him is he will throw up the occasional 30-point game. So this number doesn't like suddenly dip to like 12.5 or 13.5 because he is capable of one of those nights. And so they're keeping it pretty artificially high. Like 19 is not nothing to sneeze at, particularly with the way they're calling defense right now. And he's only hit the reason it's a head pick, Martin, he's only actually hit this in one of the last 12 games. And so it seems to me the more Cade is going, the less Jaden kind of steps up because there's not a void to fill. And Cade has it going right now. There's a lot of questions about whether they can play together. And I think that the last 12 games have continued to show that as Cade ascends, Jaden kind of takes a back seat. Plus, he can't even hit a shot right now. He's only shooting 38% so far in March. He's doing all of that while averaging over 30 minutes a game. So it's not like this is opportunity. And I know the Raptors suck, but still, like, he's got to put the ball in the hoop, even if the team he's playing doesn't have a lot of talent. So I like this tonight, as I've said to you many times, over make friends, under make money. And I get a chance to fade Jaden Ivey to have 15, 16 points tonight, or maybe even worse in a non-competitive game.
Yeah, no, I see that. I see that coming home, because the thing that does concern you, though, like you said, he will pop off for 30. If he's going to take enough threes to go over 19. Yeah. But the question is, does he make enough? And the answer is probably no.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of execution, not opportunity. And I just don't trust him to execute tonight. One night he will, but I'm willing to put up a unit and say it's not tonight.
Yeah, I like the pick.
All right. What you got?
My let's see here. Mine is going to be the Indiana Pacers, -4 against the team that I should have bet against on Monday and I didn't, Chicago Bulls. I'm taking the Pacers here. You got Halliburton, Siakam, and Turner all should be ready to go. The Bulls, I think, coming back down to earth. Maybe Kobe White is not the second coming of Michael Jordan. Maybe that's what's going to happen here. But the Pacers, they've won the last two games on the road. They just got back home now, and the Bulls, fresh off of two losses, the last one wasn't particularly close with the Dallas Mavericks. I like the Pacers to cover the 4 that they're currently favored, and secretly, I don't think this one is very close. I think the Pacers kind of get out and run here.
I looked at this one quite a bit, Martin. I had this written in my cred category for a little while. The only thing that made me back off, and I might still end up tailing you depending on what the rest of your picks are, was simply the back-to-back. So coming off that big win against the Thunder in a pretty high intense game, Bulls have a little more rest, plus they had to travel home afterwards. Like, that's just the recipe for a potential schedule loss. But you remove that, like, this, like, the Pacers are a wildly better team than the Bulls, and that only to cover 4 points doesn't seem like enough. So let me hear your last one, but I might end up tailing it.
My last one will be, this is, again, the team that I should have bet on on Monday, the Dallas Mavericks. They will cover tonight against the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry, he had a favorable diagnosis on the ankle. However, he's not going to play until at least Friday. That means we get one more game at minimum of this Golden State team, which, I mean, probably would have like 19 or 20 wins if Steph Curry didn't play all season. This team is bad, dude. Like, they're bad without Steph. And Dallas covered the spread the last 4 times they've played Golden State, and in the last 3 straight games. So I'm going to go ahead, take Dallas. Luka Doncic is on an all-time type of tear. And they're fighting for playoff seeding because, like, this is a season in which last year they punted on the playoffs. They had a shot to make the playoffs and said, you know what, that's fine. We're going to use this. We're going to tank. You get to try to get a high first-round pick. They ended up with Derek Lively. But I imagine now they are going for blood. They are trying. This is another time. How many times do you want to miss the playoffs in Luka's prime or rookie, or while he's a happy member of the Dallas Mavericks? They're pushing right now down this stretch to try to position for playoff seeding, make sure that none of these teams behind them, a la a Golden State, can try to creep up on them, because I think the top 4 in the West is pretty solid with Oklahoma City, Denver, Minnesota. Those 3, I think, are pretty solid, at least. And the hottest team in the league right now is the Pelicans. So Mavericks got to win here because they want to avoid falling into that play-in spot. So I'm taking the Mavericks. I think they win. I think they cover the 7.
Yeah, seven just seems like a lot, but it's a lot of Chris Paul, man. Like the amount they relied on Chris Paul the other night with Curry out was extraordinarily concerning for anybody who's either a fan or wagering on that team. So I definitely like the pick. I mean, seven does scare me a little bit. So I think formally I will tail that Pacers pick instead. But I would have been happy to hear you say somebody else besides the Mavericks is who you have two units on tonight. So we got through your picks. Just as a quick recap on the Heater, I'm going to come out and give conference tourney winners tomorrow. You have the Pelicans tonight, right? That was the first leg of your Heater?
Yep, they are -6 tonight against the Cavaliers, who, I mean, the handicap for the Cavaliers is the same against the Suns. I just ended up getting boned by 0.5 points. Think, you know, that's, you know, that sometimes you get paced by the hook, but I'm going to go ahead and I mean, Cavaliers still incredibly banged up, Pelicans still incredibly healthy, and have the Pelicans really one of the, let's see, it's Boston, Oklahoma City, and there's one other team that I'm forgetting right now, Denver, that are top 10 in both offensive and defensive rating. That's one of the types of things that really shows you how good a team can be and how good a team is. Herb Jones is shooting 40-something percent from three, and he's a lockdown defender. So whoever, if Cleveland finds somebody to go off, Herb, there you go, and there they go, right? Because that guy now goes to Alcatraz because he can't score because Herb Jones is guarding him, who is a lock to make an all-defensive team this year. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Pelicans here, who have pushed or covered in four straight in five of their last six.
Yeah, and Donovan Mitchell still questionable to make his return tonight. I think this weekend might be a little more likely as of tape time. But even if he does come back, I mean, like, guy hasn't played since basically the All-Star break or a little close to the All-Star break, and is going to be tentative with Herb Jones and Trey Murphy, like, up in his jock. So I like that one as well. Damn, I might end up getting pounded in the ground after all these picks. The thing that might keep me away from it, though, is Texas -4.5 for my cred pick at -110. Have to put a college basketball pick in here. I feel obligated during March, and I'm going to make it my cred selection. Texas is just more talented and routinely scores up in the 80s, a mark that Kansas State has only approached a few times all season, often in overtime. I really like how Texas has played in their biggest spots this year. For the most part, they beat Baylor, they beat Oklahoma twice. They gave Houston all they can handle down in Austin in one of the best regular season games, sending that one into OT. They also covered the first time they played Kansas State this year, beating them by 6. They are already a lock for the tourney, so they're not quite playing for their lives, but they are on one of those like spots where a loss can make them a double-digit seed, whereas a win or a couple of wins in this, you know, kind of massive Big 12 tournament would propel them into a much more favorable draw. So I expect them to bring it tonight. I expect their talent to win out, and 4.5 doesn't seem like a lot when you consider that I think they'll be up in like that 80-85 point range.
And especially after all the good talk I was doing about Texas basketball, they need to come out and acquit themselves nicely in this tournament so we can reestablish this a few schools that are good at football and basketball. I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I'm not the most locked into college basketball. So I kind of fill out my bracket similar to like your secretary does. I like this team. I like that. Oh, they wear blue. Let's go. You know,
spoken like a guy whose team won 8 games this year. I understand why you're not
exactly 100%.
Which pick are you gonna lock in though? Are you gonna fail me? You gonna fail me this time, or are you gonna tail one of my picks?
No, I'm gonna tail your Nuggets pick because I would have given it out if you hadn't already. So I'm gonna tail the Nuggets there. It's just the only thing I'm concerned about is Miami just finding the button that they press every time the playoffs start against a team that they, you know, had a decently hard fought. I mean, thinking right now, Nuggets at least took a game off of Denver in the finals. You know, it's like, but again, a team that they lost to, they should have, they should be up for this one, the Miami Heat. But also the Denver Nuggets should too. This is a team that they played in the finals. So, you know, and you probably imagine they probably had some uncomfortable conversations after that Toronto game was over, seeing how they played in the first half.
Yeah, won 9 of the last 10, and Jimmy can hit the button all he wants against every other team, but the machine might not be plugged in against this Nuggets team, who I think one of the best bets in all of sports right now, if you don't mind tying your money up, is the future for Denver to win the title. I mean, like, you always have to risk Jokic rolling an ankle in the first three rounds, but what are they, like, plus 400 right now? And I think they are by far the best team in the NBA, as much as the Celtics would differ. All right, Martin.
To the point, I think Boston might have a higher ceiling. But Boston is a roller coaster. Denver is a consistent, like, if Boston ceiling is a 97 and the bottom out is a 75, Denver is consistent 94. Every time you go down, 94, 94, 94, 94. And you know what? 90, if you get 94 in every class, congratulations. You've made the Dean's list.
Yeah, I've had a lot of success in fantasy sports over the year, and nobody really wants to hear about my fantasy success. But the one thing that I do well is I put teams together in football that are like, I'm going to score between 100 and 110 points. And so, like, you might have a lineup that's capable of 150, but if you put up 80, you're done. And so it's just like, that's how the Nuggets are. And the Nuggets only have to do it 4 out of 7 times. And so you've got to put up 140 4 times. And that's just tough to do.
No, I agree. It's hard to find a better bet than Denver right now in the league.
All right, we do agree on that. So we also agree that our sponsors are the best. Let's give them a little bit of love. Come do the Second Guess Express and send people on their way.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, we are back. And since I stole Martin's Nuggets Second Guess Express, I also, from Lemon Pepper, know how much he is out on Kansas this year. So seeing that Kansas is playing in the nightcap tonight in this Big 12 tournament, and can you remember, in your lifetime, Martin, can you remember Kansas on a Wednesday of the Big 12 tournament being an underdog in a game? They're going to hold out for 2 All-Americans tonight, and they're going to take on a Cincinnati team that is definitely playing for their lives. So they are dogs, 2.5. Which side would you take?
I think I'd have to take the Bearcats. I mean, I will say this, you know, the classic up-down theory, because last time Kansas played, they lost by 30 points to Houston, right? Yeah. Which is, I mean, they only play 40 minutes in the game. You know, to lose by 30 is pretty much interesting. It's pretty interesting. But I would have to take Cincinnati, because speaking to Mr. Jayhawk himself yesterday, Mark Gonnels, he said they're punting on the tournament. Hunter Dickinson's out. Kevin McCullough is out. They're both going to miss the whole tournament. They're just kind of preparing to try to make a run in the big dance, which, you know, they'll be what, a 5 or 6 seed, probably maybe 7 seed if things are really ugly tonight. I think Cincinnati covers. I think that's pretty good. That's a lock.
Yeah, now you throw it as the Second Guess Express. You made it even more of a lock, because you are murdering your Second Guess Express. I am now, I think, like 6 of my last 7 or something ridiculous like that. It's like how they say you should only make the plane out of the black box. I should only bet my Second Guess Express. He's like, forget the rest of my picks. And I'm going to give out one more here. The only reason this was not in today is because the games are at 4 o'clock and we taped at 1 o'clock. So I don't know if enough people will hear this in time, but take Inter and Dortmund both to advance at -110. Inter is one of the three or four best teams in the world on current form right now and should advance against the Atletico team that I'm just not a fan of. And on the other side, Dortmund is not the team they have been in the past, but wouldn't it be nice, Mr. Michigan Wolverine, if in your down year, you're still favored to advance to the final eight of the most prestigious tournament in all of club soccer. So I think they will do that, even though they are facing some live dogs. You put it together, you get -110. So wouldn't that, I mean, can you imagine that, like, being so well run that even when you sold all your guys and you're having a hard time rebuilding, you still, your infrastructure still carries you like to the precipice of greatness?
I can't, honestly, because it's never been the case for any team I've ever rooted for. It's always been a spike of greatness and surrounded by just intense, intense mediocrity to very, very bad. That's all. That's the fandom of mine. Like you say, you're a DC fan, so all the things. I grew up in New Orleans. They had bags over their heads. You know, it was like I was one of them. You know, that's the type of thing that you just expect out of teams that I root for. And they missed, like I said, Michigan football, and I was there, worst 5 years of all time. But I did think, you're taking Inter. Well, I'll take Outer. How about that?
Outer Milan, lesser known squad on the come up. I would tell you, if I was walking into a Commanders game right now and they were offering bags on the head, I would pay them extra to not cut eye holes in them. Just, I don't even want to see it. They've been suffocating for about 3 hours and go home. So mediocrity is what we're not doing here at the Extra Points Network. You had a very lively edition of the Lemon Pepper Parlay NBA edition, where you spent most of the time trashing the NBA. So that was an interesting strategy to take, but we are about 3 weeks from hoops really like shining and starting to matter a whole lot more. You're just not a fan of where the regular season's at right now, huh?
No, man, I'm not because this is when I get fooled into thinking that, oh, you look at this team. Oh, look at Oklahoma City. Look at their net rating. Look at their pace of play. Oh, St. Joseph Alexander, Chet Holmgren, Lou Dort, all this. And then like LeBron and Anthony Davis will come in and win the series in six games. And I was like, what was the point? What was the whole point of this whole facade? We just played this whole time and Oklahoma City lost 25 regular season games and then lost four of the next six. what's going on?
Yeah, just wait till Detroit Tigers are good again and you got to get into baseball where the 300 win teams can't get out of like the divisional round. So you want exactly. That's 162 games. So holy hell. So the Premier League's the best league in the world, baby. But you guys just won't listen to me, but that's all right. We'll keep Brett and I will keep grinding away on Covered in Glory, which will be back tomorrow talking about the FA Cup. Extra Points will be out about the same time that you're hearing this right now. Hench and Sheck and Spaghetti had another lively -3 on Monday. And that's about it right now as Waiver Wire is on hiatus. So we hope that you guys enjoy this show. We will be back not Friday, but tomorrow. We got some scheduling conflicts on Friday. So Martin and I will be back 24 hours from now to wrap up our contest for the week. Till that time, enjoy the conference tournaments, and we will see you then. Take care, everyone.